Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for the opportunity to come and talk to you. And I think it's really wonderful to see all the children. And mashallah, everyone did a fantastic job. So in some ways and forms, I would like to again encourage you to continue this. And I also think that our senior administration should also continue to nurture our children. Because in the end, this is our deen, this is faith that we have to continue to pass on. This is actually imanat that's been sort of passed upon us from our elders, and we have to make sure that we pass it on to our children. And I think Azadari Imam Hussain is one of the ways that we communicate with our children and pass it on to youth and younger generation. But at the same time, if you like rasmalai and gulab jamun, you don't actually take it when you go fishing, you take what fish likes. Otherwise, you will catch cold and no fish. You can sit there all day and you will not catch fish. So it's really important for us that we cater for our children at their intellectual ability, at their intellectual level. We cannot bring all the stuff that we learned back home, because it worked very well to have it imposed also upon our children. I remember once Wayne Gretzky was asked that, how come you're so good? Not only that you score so many goals, but also you have so many assists. How do you do this? You know what he said? He said, I pass the puck to my partner, not where he is, but where he's going to be. So I think it's really important for us that we pass that faith and religion to you, not where we have accepted it or where we have received it, but where you are going to be, because your challenges are quite distinct. But we are gathered here to remember Imam Hussain, and I think this is a Yomi Hussain, and you also are recapitulating the events of Karbala. And one of the important things that I realize is that I think let me give you my take-home message first. That Imam Hussain did not sacrifice his life for Muslims. He sacrificed his life for Islam. He actually drew the line between Muslims and Islam. If he had sacrificed his life for Muslims, Muslims would not have been drinking today. Muslim would not have been gambling today. Muslim would not have been killing each other today. And in the enemies of Yazid, there were all those people, there were Muslims. There were all, among the 30,000 soldiers, there were at least 12,000 who were Hafiz al-Quran. They were all praying, they were all reading namaz. The women who were throwing rocks at Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha, they were all wearing hijab. This is not what Imam Hussain's sacrifice was. And I think it's really important to remember that Imam Hussain sacrificed to safeguard Islam. And this is what my topic today is. Inna al-Din, inna al-Islam. Even though each and every prophet followed the prophecies and also the concept of Islam to greater extent, Islam was actually more formalized at the time of Prophet Abraham. And Prophet Abraham used to live in Babel. It's a small place in Iraq. And during his time, Allah specifically ascended him at that region and that place, because people at that time, they used to worship celestial objects like stars, moon, sun. There were also people who used to worship idols and statues. And then there was a third category of people who used to worship human beings as God. Prophet Abraham was strategically sent to give message of oneness of Allah, one God, right in the core where all these religions prevailed. How did he do it? He started out by saying one day, people who used to worship celestial objects like moon and stars, the star appeared in the sky. And he said, maybe this is my God. He didn't impose upon them that, look, I will beat the life out of you if you do not accept what I am to tell you. He's very diplomatic, because they've never heard before that there is another God, or there is one God. And they were very sensitive, and an outsider would come and criticize their God. So he said, maybe this is my God. And then it disappeared. He says, it cannot be my God, because it disappears. My God is eternal, it's forever. Then moon appeared. He says, maybe for all those people who worship moon, he said, maybe this is my God. The moon also disappeared. He says, this cannot be my God. You see, the strategic deployment that he used, the strategy that he used was not, again, to force, but to actually give them reason and logic. And then the sun came out. Of course, it's the brightest. And he said, maybe this is the biggest and the brightest star. Maybe this is my God. And that also disappeared. And by actually giving them logical reasoning, not forcing them, this was the first lesson of Islam that was delivered. Then on the other hand, then he tackled those people who used to worship idols. You know, in their houses and in their holy places, there were idols everywhere, the statues. And Prophet Abraham always disliked them. He always condemned them. And people knew that he doesn't like them. So one day they had their festivity, it was one of the festivals, they left the town. And what Ibrahim did was he took an axe and he chopped arms and legs and noses and ears of some of those guys. And then he handed that axe to the guy who was the biggest statue. So when they all came, they said, who did this to our gods? And Prophet Abraham, again, using very strategic tone, you remember that prophets do not lie. If he had said, yes, I did it, they would have probably killed him right then. And if he had said, no, I didn't do it, he would have been lying. Our masums don't lie. He used, again, very logical reasoning. He says, well, there seems to, it appears that this big guy seems to have axe in his hand. Maybe he's the one who got up and chopped all the noses and ears of the other guys. So what are you talking about? He can't move. He says, look, these guys couldn't defend themselves, but somebody was cutting their arms and legs. How can they defend you? And then this fellow who can't even move, you just told me he can't even move. How can he do anything for you? That was the first, again, the second lesson of Islam. So he tackled the idol worshippers that way. The third strategy he used was Namrud at that time. He always used to reason that I am God. And he used to argue with Prophet Abraham. Look, your Allah, your God, gives life and he takes away the life. I could do this too. He said, this person is an innocent person. I will kill him. This person, he is about to die because he committed some crimes, and I will pardon his life. I can do this too. And Prophet Abraham, he used another strategy. He said, you know, my Allah, my God, raises the sun in the east and sets it in west. You do the opposite. You can show this. So he got really frustrated. He couldn't argue. In the end, they lit up the fire, and I think it's a science and a philosophy behind it, maybe for other time. But they made such a Prophet Abraham's life so terrible that he had to leave. So he took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lu, and he took off. So he's traveling all the way from Iraq. He ended up in Palestine, whereas Prophet Lut continued towards Jordan, where he settled subsequently. If you look at Jerusalem, you will see that right at the end of Israel is Eilat. And from Eilat, you can see Aqaba. Aqaba is in Jordan, just a very small peninsula. And on the right-hand side, if you look, you'll see Saudi Arabia. So this is a bit of a geographic perspective for you. So they took off, and Abraham with Sarah, they were living in Palestine. But they couldn't have children. Abraham was getting old. So Sarah asked Prophet Abraham that you should marry another woman who used to work for them so that you can have children. And so Prophet Abraham married Hajira. Okay? And they had their first child. His name was Ishmael. And we call it Prophet Ishmael. And then Prophet Abraham was paying attention to Ishmael and Hajira. Sarah got jealous. And she asked Prophet Abraham to send them off. So this baby and mother, they were put on a camel and sent off. Okay? Just remember, we will come back to this part of the story. But Prophet Abraham was living with Sarah. He also had a child. His first child from Sarah was Isaac, and we call Prophet Ishaq. And then his son was Jacob, and his son was Joseph, Yaqub, and Yusuf. So the children who are the descendants of Sarah, they became Bani Israel. And that's where the Jewish lineage comes from. They became Jews. So Jesus was actually one of the Jewish boys. He was among the Jewish following. And you know the story that we have, you know, many commonalities. And in those descendants, you have Bible and Torah, Moses and Jesus, all the prophets. So that's one lineage, but they all monotheistic faith. They believed in oneness of God, one God. Okay? And then let's go back to this baby and mother. They were traveling. They ended up in Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia was not inhabited at that time. And then all of a sudden, baby became very thirsty. So the mother ran 7 times between 2 little mountains called Safa and Marwa. In the meantime, baby rubbed his heel, the water fountains erupted. Now Allah loved this act of this mother, who was not a Nabi Zahra, not a daughter of the Prophet, nor was she a daughter of Imam. But her tradition became so important that even today when Hajis go, they perform this ritual. They actually run between these 2 mountains. This is Islam. How come anything that we do to remember Bibi Zainab Salamullah alayha could become bidah, could become a non-act of Islam? It's actually perfect teaching of Islam. Anyhow, the baby rubbed his heels, the fountains erupted. That fountain, the water, is still used as holy water all around the world. How come the sabil of Imam Hussein becomes bidah? How come the sabil of Imam Hussein and the water in the name of Imam Hussein could not have that healing power? And then, of course, you know, as the baby grew, Prophet Abraham joined him back. And as the baby was growing up, one day father told him that, look, I am having this recurring dream that I am sacrificing you in the name of Allah. And the son, I think if I tell this dream to my son, he probably thinks, the dad, I think you're going crazy. You better see a doctor. Whereas because it's the Prophet, son of Prophet, he said, this is Allah's wish, you will find me content. You will find me resolute in my resolve. So Prophet Abraham took him. Shaitan came 3 times, says, what are you doing? The rocks were thrown at him. This is the ritual that we perform when you go also Hajj. You throw rocks at Shaitan. And then as he's about to sacrifice his son, he said, Father, you are old. You wouldn't be able to sacrifice your own son. Why don't you put a blindfold around your eyes? So Prophet Abraham did that. He's about to sacrifice his son. Now, Allah loved his act so much. That's all he wanted. He switched the child with a goat. And this is the ritual now that we perform because Allah declared in his love the acts of Prophet Abraham as Zibhe Azim. Even though nobody was sacrificed, nobody was killed. I personally believe that the actual true meaning of the Zibhe Azim is what happened in Karbala when Imam Hussein had his own son sacrificed in the name of Deen. Because Prophet Abraham was not sacrificing Ismail in the name of Deen, or in the name of faith, or in the name of anything else, just on the basis of one dream, because it's will of Allah. To submit oneself to will of Allah is what Islam is all about. And then of course, when Prophet Abraham was living, Allah asked them to build Holy Kaaba. So the Kaaba was built by both as Prophet Ismail and Prophet Abraham. And people used to come, even before Prophet Muhammad, they used to come to perform Hajj, to do Tawaf around Kaaba. And this is where the statues both still were at the time when Prophet took over. So now you can imagine that the tradition is continuing, people still come. This is all Islamic history. And as the time goes by, you fast speed it, you will see the Prophet was then ascended. Prophet, peace be upon him, was ascended to the peninsula, to the Arabian Peninsula, to safeguard people. But now the strategy changed. When he took Imam Ali in the Holy Kaaba to destroy the idols, he did not give any diplomatic reason. Imam Ali was raised on Prophet's shoulder, and he was the one who destroyed all the idols and all worships in front of everybody else. This is when Islam became open. Became open that you could worship everything you like. And all those people who used to worship celestial objects, Prophet split the moon in 2 halves, saying, we are the one who can actually command these celestial objects. Imam Ali returned the sun back and he said, we command these objects. So do not have any doubts in your hearts that we are the true ones. We are the chosen ones who have the command. And this is what Quran said, oh Prophet, had it not been for you, I would have not created these heavens and the earth and the entire planets. So at the same time, when you look at the time went by, you also saw that the Quran said very specifically that these are the Ahlul Bayt, and I have purified them. I have removed all najasa for them. And then his Quran also said that, oh Muhammad, tell them that whatever you give, you take this. These people should take it from you. And if you ask them to refrain from things, then you should refrain. This is Islam. This is deen. And then I also said, O Prophet of Allah, tell them that you do not do anything unless whatever is wahid upon you. So whatever you do is actually an act of Allah. So if Prophet says, Aliyu min nurin wahid, this is what Quran is teaching you. If somebody asks Imam Ali, what is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is ibadah? Prophet said, Waji Aliyu ibadah. To look at Ali's face is ibadah. He said, what if Ali is not around? He said, Zikr Aliyu ibadah. Zikr. Ali's zikr is ibadah. To think and talk about Ali is ibadah. And he said, what if that's not permitted? If you live in a time where people do not like you to recite the name of Imam Ali, then he said, Hubbe Ali ibadah. To love Ali is ibadah. He also said, Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun ba'daha. He said, Man kuntu maulahu fahada aliyun maulah. This is Islam. This is deen. Deen doesn't stop at just verses following Quran, but it's the understanding of Quran. Who will make you understand Quran? These are the Ahlul Bayt. And that's why Prophet said that إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمْ أَسَّقَلَيْنْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيْتْرَثِي. I leave behind two things. They are very lofty, very, very important things that you should not separate them. And we, Alhamdulillah, Shias, are the true followers of Ahlul Bayt. We believe that we are the true followers of Islam. And this is why I think when Prophet also, during the upbringing of Imam Hussein, he always used to say, Husaynu minni wa ana min al-Husayn. Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. You can understand Imam Hussein was the grandson. This is okay for a Prophet to say, yes, Hussein is because of me. Because my daughter is Fatima and Fatima's son is Hussein. But what about I am from Hussein? How could he say it? Prophet was giving actually one of his prophecies that my deen that I will establish will be safeguarded by this Hussein. That's how I am from Hussein. Had it not been for Imam Hussein, there would not have been any Islam. It would have all turned into so-called Muslims who would have changed the face of Islam completely. And then also when Prophet, it's not that most people, you know that parents love their children, grandparents love their grandchildren. But the love of Prophet for Imam Hussein was beyond and above that. You always used to say to Bibi Fatima, Salamu alayhi, whenever this child cries, it bothers me terribly. Please, make sure this baby doesn't cry. Imam Hussein once was walking into Haram when Prophet was giving his sermon. Imam Hussein fell. Prophet abandoned everything. He dashed. He picked up the baby, brought the baby, young child, and had him sit on his lap. And then he continues. This is Islam. And Prophet is praying. Now you worship, you pray, you do the biggest ibadah, which is namaz. And in your sajda, which is the most important act of your namaz, Prophet is not reading his own namaz, but he's leading the entire ummah. So I could do things for my own self because they're my children, but for the entire nation, entire people, entire ummah. And when he's praying, he goes into sajda, Imam Hussein walks in, and he sits on the back of him, of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet continued his namaz, continued his tajda for 70 times. And people say, many sahabi said, we thought Prophet was either getting a wahi from Gabriel, or mazallah, he passed away. And they said, we kept looking up, and Prophet continued, until and unless Imam Hussein got off the back. Prophet did not wish to have this child's heart broken, even if it's the act. This is Islam. And what did they do? As soon as Prophet died, Imam Ali was martyred, he was killed. And then Yazid became the tyrant, ruler. And Yazid's main task was to avenge the death of his forefathers at the hands of Imam Ali. In Badr and Uhud, out of 75, 300 who were killed, Imam Ali single-handedly had killed 72. These were Yazid's relatives. They were aunts and uncle. And Yazid had also seen in history that when Amir Hamza had killed one of her Hindas' cousin, that he wanted to take the revenge. And also to stick a dagger in Prophet's heart, she hired this black slave who went and killed Amir Hamza. And when he died, she went and dug up his liver and she chewed just to hurt Prophet. So how could Yazid knew that the entire world could accept him, but if Imam Hussein did not accept him, his allegiance, his authority will not be recognized. So he went after Imam Hussein. The other important reason for him was he wished to avenge the death of his forefathers. So he wanted to stick one dagger in three hearts, because he knew how much Imam Ali, Bibi Fatima salamu alayhi, and Prophet salallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Imam Hussein. He specifically targeted him. Imam Hussein refused to offer hands of allegiance. The battle continues. He drove Imam Hussein out of his home. He went to Hajj. Imam Hussein knew that they would send some assassins. And if he was killed and martyred in Haram, it would bring disgrace and defame to Haram. At the same time, nobody would know who killed Hussein. Imam Hussein took him in the open. If he had taken an army with him, just men, people would have said, look, Hussein came to fight Yazid. This was a battle between two people, two kings or two princes, as it's said even now. Imam Hussein took children, ladies, to eliminate all of this. The Imam's politics is playing just as important. First of Muharram, he arrived in Karbala. On the 3rd, they stopped the water. They asked Imam Hussein to move all the tents away. Imam Hussein said, this is okay, acceptable to us as well. Then the time progressed. What they did, they stopped water, and then the Shabi Ashur came, when everybody was thirsty in the tents. And Imam had all his companions in the room, and he put out all the lights. And he said, these guys are after me, they are thirsty of my blood, you can leave. And Hazrat Akbar said to him, oh Baba, aren't we on the right path? He said, of course my son, we are on the right path. So then I find death sweeter than honey. Zuhair al-Qarni, when he was asked, one of the prophets, also Sahabi, his great grandson was also with Imam. And when he was asked, he said, Mawla, what will happen? If I have to sacrifice my life over you 70 times, I'll be delighted to do this. This is just once. This is a treat. This is actually a wonderful thing for us. And then as the time goes by, the day of Ashura came, Imam Hussein's friends went one by one and they fought. And they challenged Yazid continuously. And Yazid's army, look, this is the grandson of Prophet. You have seen him. You have seen him on the shoulders of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What are you doing? They fought one by one. Fell one by one. And in the end, it was the turn for families to sacrifice their lives. Bibi Zainab Salamu Alaihi sent two little boys on Muhammad, just young children. She said, I will forgive everything, all my milk and my onus in you, if you went and you sacrificed your life over Hussein. They went, they fought. They fought really bravely. Then his son, Hazrat Ali Akbar, he was sent into the battlefield. And the Prophet said, oh enemies, be witness. I'm sending the one who looked and he walked and he was a complete embodiment of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They killed him as well. They stuck a dagger in his heart. Just imagine at that moment where Ibrahim had to close his eyes, put a blindfold in Imam Hussein. Without anything, he pulled that spear out of Ali Akbar's heart. And he said, Oh Allah, I am happy with your will. This is Islam. This is the true submitting oneself to the will of Allah. And then Hazrat Abbas said, Oh Prophet, oh Imam Hussein, now I wish to go for battlefield. Imam said, no, I cannot send you. You are the commander of my army. He says, what army? There is no army now. I tell you what, why don't you just let me go and get some milk for these children? I cannot stand their cries. They're screaming since it's 2 days, not 3 days. Please let me go and get some water. And all of a sudden, small little girl, Sakina, she's so excited. She gathers all the children. She says, look, now the bravest of brave, my uncle Abbas is going and he's going to get water for us. As Abbas conquered his way through, he went and he captured Farah single-handedly. The enemies were running like wild dogs. And he, in the end, he showed that we still have the power to do this, but it's not the wish of our Imam. This is not the will of Allah. And as he was bringing the water, somebody hit him on the right side, cut his right shoulder. He grabbed his water sack in his left hand, That was cut as well. He finally grabbed that sack in his mouth so that he could take water for children. And then an arrow struck. The water started to pour out. And that, with that water went all the wish and desire of the bus to go back to the tents. He said, I had promised all the children that I will bring water. And I'm so ashamed and I'm so embarrassed that I couldn't take water. And when Imam Hussein actually came to see, and this was one of the requests that the bus made, and he said, look, please don't take me because I will be very embarrassed. And then in the end, you know, when everybody was sacrificed, Imam Hussein realized that he was a little baby, Ali Asghar. He was only 6 months old. He was thirsty. He was crying nonstop. And Imam Hussein said to the mother, Rubaba says, I will take this child and get him some water. Maybe they will take pity on the little baby, if not me. So he took the baby and he addressed the enemies. He said, look, you are my enemies, but this child hasn't done any harm to you. And then he asked Ali Asghar, why don't you tell them you're a Hujjat-e Imam? Why don't you tell them that you're thirsty? And Ali Asghar rubbed his tongue around his lips. And the enemy started to cry. Then immediately Shimr told Hurmala to stop Imam Hussein's discussion and talk. So he took an arrow, the arrow that used to be used to hit horses and camels. And that arrow was struck in Ali Asghar's throat. Now Imam Hussein didn't know what to do. He walked back and forth 7 times, rather than Bikhazayhi with Taslim al-Amri. He walked back and forth, and he didn't want to take baby to mother. Look, I promise I will bring water. Look what I have brought, a limp body of the baby. He took the baby in the back of the tents, and he buried him there. But you know, the enemies didn't even leave him alone, even after his shahada. So when everybody was killed, these guys took their horses and spears, and they were digging into the ground to find the body of Ali Asghar. And eventually they found the body. This is what Imam Hussein was fighting for, struggling for. And then it was his turn. He came and he bid farewell to all the family. He said, I am ready to go. And then all of a sudden, the horse wouldn't move. And he was very surprised. And he said to the horse, look, you have served me all day. This is the last trouble I'm giving you. Please take me to the battlefield. And the horse kept banging his head down. And when Imam looked down, he saw a little daughter, Sakina. She was clung to the horse's leg. And he said, Baba, I don't want you to go. Where would I sleep? What would I do if you were gone? Imam said, look, I will try to get some water. He says, yeah, but this is what everybody said. Nobody has come back. Nobody has promised. They all promised, but no one has come back. Imam eventually went. He was not only killed, but he had so many arrows in his body that his body, when he landed from the horse, he was actually sitting on the arrows. And then Shimr came and he cut Imam Hussein's head off. And he put that head on a spear. And that was really the beginning of another journey for Bibi Zainab Salamu Alaihi. Sweetheart, don't stop those tears. You know, this is the greatest gift that Allah has given to you. You've been blessed. You have been blessed by Bibi Fatima Salamu Alaihi that you have these tears in your eyes. You should pray for your mother, who has actually implanted love of Ahlul Bayt in your heart. But these tears, we are often viewed as the nation of weepers, nation of criers, both in the name of intellectualism, in the name of modernism. But you know, these tears will actually make your heart fertile. Unfortunate is a person who cannot cry on Imam Hussein because his heart is like a barren land where the love of Ahlul Bayt will not grow. And these tears, they will nurture your heart. This is where the love of Ahlul Bayt will grow. So don't stop them. Foster them. Let them grow. Because every tear that we shed is actually slap on the face of all the zalims, all those people who are tyrants, all the people, every hand that we use to do matam, is a slap on the face of tyrants. And I think this Azadariya Imam Hussein is the one that has kept this mission alive, that has kept Islam alive. And inshallah, when it's passed on to you, that you will continue with it. But don't be embarrassed, because every time you feel the love of Ahlul Bayt and your eyes are ready to ooze out, don't stop those tears. Because those tears are for Imam Hussein, who sacrificed Islam, his life for Islam. Wassalam. Oh.